Well, a big happy Halloween, and welcome to chilly weather. It's not even going to get up to 50 today. It's just it's pretty. It's just a little chilly. But we're not talking about Halloween, and right now we're really not talking about Alabama LSU, which I thought that would be the focus of our Tuesday show. But actually, we're going to go to Clemson, South Carolina. Last night, Dabo Swinney, on his coach's call-in show, Tiger Calls, got a little ringy-dingy from a guy named Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler from Spartanburg basically asked Dabo Swinney about his $115 million contract that pays him more than $11 million annually through 2031. And given the fact that Clemson is off to a 4-4 start and has a 2-4 conference record, which is good for 10th in the ACC, Tyler wanted some answers. And instead of cherry-picking different parts of Dabo's five-minute response, which really is the talk of the college football world today, I think we should play the entirety of the 5 minutes, and then let's dig into it after that. So here is Dabo Swinney last night on his weekly call-in show, Tiger Calls, responding to Tyler from Spartanburg.
Why are we paying you $11.5 million to go 4-4? And it's not just this year. It's been, you know, just the refusal to accept.
All right. What's his name?
Tyler.
Hey, Tyler. I've listened to enough of you, Tyler. Listen, you can have all your opinions that you want. All right. I don't know how old you are. Don't really care. All right, but let me tell you something. We won 11 games last year, and you're part of the problem, to be honest with you, because that is part of the problem. It's people like you that all you do is the appreciation, the expectation is greater than the appreciation, and that's the problem. And so, you know, we've won 12 10-plus win seasons in a row. That's happened three times in 150 years. So if you want to know why, Clemson ain't sniffed a national championship for 35 years. We've won 2 in 7 years. And there's only two other teams that can say that, Georgia and Alabama. Okay? Is this a bad year? Yeah. And it's my responsibility. Take 100% responsibility for it. But all this bull crap you're thinking, all these narratives you read, listen, man, you can have your opinion all you want. And you can apply for the job. And good luck to you. All right? But to answer your question, all right, we're second in draft picks. We've graduated 98% of our guys. We're second in wins. All right, if you want to know why, again, I'm telling you, we're not perfect. There's a lot of teams that, you know, Frank Howard never had a bad year. Coach Ford never had a bad year. Coach K has never had a bad year in basketball. People have a bad year. But the part of the problem is the appreciation. I used to tell people all the time, and say, what's the difference in Clemson? Let me tell you, at some places there's an expectation, but at Clemson there's an appreciation. And what's happened at Clemson is we've won so much that even when it used to be the fun's in the winning, now even when you win, people like you complain and criticize the coaches and question everything. People like you, all right, when I hired Tony Elliott to be the offensive coordinator who never called a play in his life, I'm sure you were critical then. All right? And he took us to 2 national championships. People like you who just love to destroy people with your comments, all right? I'm sure you've never made any bad decisions. I'm sure you've lived a perfect life. I'm sure you've led a bunch of people. I'm sure you do your job in front. So to answer your question, I started as the lowest paid coach in this freaking business, all right? And I'm where I am because I've worked my ass off every single day. And I ain't going to let some smart-ass kid get on this phone and create this stuff. So if you got a problem with that, I don't care, all right? I work for the Board of Trustees, the president, and the AD. And if they're tired of me leading this program, all they got to do is let me know. I'll go somewhere else where there is an appreciation, all right? It's not just winning, it's how you win. And we are in a – this is a tough year. But we've had 12 10-plus win seasons in a row. 12. We lost to Tennessee last year. They won 11 games for the first time in like 20 years. We've had 8-11 win seasons in whatever, 11 years or whatever. We've won two national championships. Clemson went 35 years. All right, probably since before you were born, your whole freaking life. And we've won two in 7 years. And we earned it. And we beat the best of the best to do it. The best of the best. 12, 10 plus win seasons. So if you want to know why, that's why. Am I perfect? Nope. I'm far from it. I am a man of faith. Absolutely. All right? I'm 53 years old, and there ain't one thing in my life. I have been a part of failure many times, but there ain't one thing in my life that I've ever failed at, Tyler. Never. All right? Ever. I wanted to get an education. I got 2 degrees. I wanted to be the first college in my graduate with my family. I did it. I wanted to go play football in Alabama. I earned a scholarship, lettered 3 years, worked my ass off, won a national championship. I wanted to get into coaching. I worked my way to being a head coach. And when I got this job, and I'm sure you didn't want me to get this job, all right, and 15 years later, I'm still here, and I'd say the results are what they are, and I stand on them. So you don't ever have to call back. I wanted to get married. I've been married for going on 30 years. I wanted to be a father. I've raised 3 great sons. If you don't like how I run the program, don't be a fan. I don't care. But I'm the head coach, and I'm going to do what I believe is right for the long term of this program, what's best for the players, and what I think is best for the moment. If you got a problem with that, that's fine. But you're not, I'm not going to sit here and let you call. I don't give a crap how much money I make. You ain't going to talk to me like I'm 12 years old. You'd be freaking kidding me.
Way to go, Dabo. Man, Tyler picked the wrong guy on the wrong night to go after Clemson and Dabo Swinney, but he sounds like the kind of guy that's probably laughing about it and didn't care to begin with. But I don't disagree with a lot. I mean, you can't disagree with what Tyler's saying, Dabo is saying. And the one thing that rings truer and truer is this quote: the expectation is greater than the appreciation. That's not just true at Clemson, Lars. That's true at all major programs that have a history of winning, especially over the last 10 to 15 years, where coaches and players and coordinators can just get lambasted on social media. Unfortunately, Lars, that's the way we are right now. You can attack a head coach. That guy at least called on the phone, told him who he was, where he's from. But that quote, the expectation is greater than the appreciation, really, that came home to me.
Seriously. Yeah. Yes, and both you and I have a great appreciation for Dabo Swinney. I mean, I appreciate him so much that I wrote a book on the guy. And when you write a book, you essentially spend about 18 months living inside another person's head. And that's why I choose to write books about people that I have admiration for. And if you go back, and you were of great help to me on this project, you know, we went back and examined in great detail Dabo's background, all of the challenges that he has overcome, and he's a remarkable man, And when he said, "I've never failed at anything in my life," you know what? 99% of the people, I would call them out and say, "You got to be kidding me." But with Dabo, he's absolutely correct. He hasn't. And, you know, I'm sure there's been, you know, little failures here and there, like all of us. But when it comes to big picture things, he absolutely is a winner. And, you know, Dabo's getting lambasted across the country today because they think that he lost his cool with this caller. And you know, he's frustrated. It's a frustrating season, but I think you just did, you absolutely picked out the most important thing, and that is that the expectation is much higher than the appreciation. But there are some issues with this, with the Clemson program. And now, will Dabo be like a Bear Bryant? Will he be like a Nick Saban, who have had to adapt? Will he be like a John McKay, right? He won four national championships spread across 13 seasons. And he had to, change things. And Bear Bryant, obviously he had to change things, from, you know, going to the wishbone and then Nick Saban, as we know, he had to change things. So, there's a kind of a lot to get into. Like, is Dabo Swinney willing to make the necessary changes to flourish in this new age of college football? And we'll wait. It remains to be seen. I think he will. He's going to have to embrace things that he doesn't necessarily want to embrace, but he'll need to do it for the sake of reviving his program. And certainly, you know, look, he missed on a couple quarterbacks. And that is really as what has hurt Clemson more than anything else. But I'm just glad we're able to play the whole thing so our listeners can understand kind of where Dabo was coming from. Because you know what? Dabo's an Alabama guy. And I think the people who care about him the most, aside from the diehard Clemson fans, are the diehard Alabama fans, Matt.
Yeah, he is disliked by others as well, but obviously he's not the most popular guy in South Carolina, much less Clemson. We'll get back to this, get the reaction of Bama 24/7's Mike Rodak. It's LSU week, by the way. We'll talk about that. Coming up on Big Noon Sports, presented by Haley Sansing, Union Home Mortgage.
Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at laura.lee@thebamabroker.com. That's laura.lee@thebamabroker.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather. Mostly sunny, cool and breezy this afternoon, the high 57. Tonight, a freeze warning in effect. The sky clear, the low 31. And for tomorrow and Thursday, sunny both days. The high tomorrow, 53. Warmer Thursday, the high 61. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Many of our Alabama football-related segments are being brought to you by Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker Advantage Realty Group. She'll be with us Friday from noon until 2 as we broadcast live throughout the season at Innisfree, the Friday place to be. Joining us now is from Bama 24/7 is Mike Rodak. Mike, welcome. What are you going to be for Halloween?
Oh, man, I forget the name of the character. It's from the movie frozen. And so my son, or both of my sons, have characters. My wife has arranged all this. I'm just along for the ride. So I wish I remember the name, but I'm dressed up as something from the movie Frozen.
Well, my son-in-law showed much courage going to a party this past weekend. He dressed up like Ken, and my daughter dressed up like Barbie. And if you've seen the Ken outfits, they're not the most flattering in certain ways. Anyway, I'm burying the lead, Mike. I'm sure you've heard, and I would like to know your reaction to Dabo Swinney's little chat with Tyler from Spartanburg last night.
Tyler, that was interesting. I listened to the full audio after I'd seen some of the tweets about it last night. And, you know, I think there's some people who say once you hear the whole thing, you hear the caller kind of go on to rant, that it makes Dabo look, you know, better, makes the caller look worse. Like, I don't know. To me, it's like, even if what Dabo said was true, I don't know if he necessarily needs to say it. And here's the thing, like, the theme of Dabo's answer was pretty similar to what, remember Nick Saban's rant 2 years ago about self-absorbed fans and not being grateful, and, you know, this team works hard and nobody hates to lose more than they do. And he went on, whatever it was, a 3-minute rant on his radio show. The big difference, even though the theme was the same, the big difference is that Nick Saban didn't really make it personal with the caller and kind of made it vague and broad. It was obviously sending a message, but it wasn't necessarily attacking anybody. And I think that's kind of where Dabo went wrong here is, you know, I think his message had some validity to it. But if you start going after the caller for being young and, I don't care what you think and blah, 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 like, I think you make it too personal. And I don't know if that comes off the right way. And he's come out today, even Dabo has, and, you know, stood by what he said. And, there's probably some stubbornness there. I'm sure he's under a lot of pressure. But again, I think you can make the point without getting personal or making it too vicious.
Mike, I know we're going to get to Alabama LSU here in a second, but I want to stick with Clemson and Dabo just for one more question. Do you think this season is an outlier for Clemson? 4-4 overall, 2-4 in the conference, in the ACC. Or are there some deep-seated problems here, mainly with Dabo and his unwillingness to be a real active participant in the transfer portal? I believe they only brought in one player this year, and that was Paul Tyson, former quarterback at Alabama, Bear Bryant's great-great-grandson. He's a third stringer for Clemson. And also just, you know, Dabo, he was so vociferous early on about not paying college players and saying, hey, I'm going to get out of the game if we're starting to pay these guys. And now essentially they are getting paid. Is there just a lack of malleability of his willingness to change and because we were just talking about how Bear Bryant, he had to change and adapt. Nick Saban, he had to change and adapt. And now the question is, will Dabo Swinney change and adapt?
Right. Yeah. He's kind of the main case study of not doing everything that a lot of people are doing these days. So. And that case study so far has proven, you know, not to work. And I think that's also where Dabo went wrong, too, is that he made it just about this season. It made it seem like this was very one-off. You know, he kept bringing up how they had 12, 10-win seasons before that. And, you know, they had the 2 championships in 7 years. And that's the kind of stuff you hear coaches say as things start to flip. And I don't think anybody, you know, woke up in September of 2023 and said Clemson all of a sudden was, on the way out. I think it's been something that we've seen for the past 2 or 3 years. So it's an erosion that slowly happens. And, I think people, especially guys who have had a lot of success, coaches who have been at the top of the mountain, sometimes are, unwilling to accept that fact, or a little bit, naive to kind of what's happening around them. And I feel like that's somewhat where Dabo is. And I think the better message for him to send was, we need to turn things around. We need to make changes. We need to do things differently. I agree. I think NIL wise, that's not a top destination for anybody. And, if you're not bringing anybody into the portal, that means you're just simply recruiting guys out of high school on the, the hope that they will go there because they love the culture or they love the school, et cetera. And I don't know if you're going to get another Deshaun Watson or DeAndre Hopkins or Sammy Watkins or, some of the great players ahead, CJ Spiller. Like, I don't know if you're going to get those great players these days simply trying to do it that way.
Speaking of transfer portal, we're seeing a lot of activity, social media mainly, on Ty Simpson, and even going to Tennessee, which is where he's from. What do you hear?
I haven't heard anything specific on that, but, it's 4 weeks away now? December 3rd or 4th is when the portal opens, and, we're going to see him a little bit against Chattanooga in 3 weeks here, 2.5 weeks, and that will really be, the last time. So that's somewhat of an audition, and, just from a pure logical standpoint, I don't think too many people are expecting Ty Simpson to be back here next year. Because, he's run the string out. He's tried to get on the field and, he got beat by Jalen Milroe twice, essentially, this year. And, obviously that's not going to be changing, for the rest of this year. So that's just where it is. And, would Tennessee take him as a potential starter? I think that would be a stretch. I think, he's probably better off maybe dropping down to a group of five school and knowing that you're at least going to start. Otherwise, you could be in a Tyler Buchner situation where you're going from one really good school to another really good school and you're not really playing it either. So that's the decision he's going to have to make. And, if they have five scholarship quarterbacks right now, there's only one of them I would feel really strongly about him still being here next year, and that's Dylan Lonergan, the freshman. The other freshman, Eli Holstein, I think could leave. I think Tyler Buchner certainly could leave. I think Ty Simpson could leave. And then we'll just have to see what happens with Milroe. I think, the odds are he's still here next year, but when you have Lonergan coming along and you have Julian Fain coming in next year and maybe they look at the portal for somebody else, then the numbers start to get tight. So as soon as the portal opens December 4th, I think we're going to see a couple quarterbacks leave right away, and Ty Simpson could certainly be one of those.
Mike, let's shift our focus to LSU. And what do you think the plan of attack is on the offensive side of the ball for Alabama going against this LSU defense? Is it just going to be kind of – are we going to see essentially what we saw in the second half of the Tennessee game? Or will there be are you anticipating, any new wrinkles?
I think – the A&M game might be the best parallel. And, I still – usually the Thursday night radio show, you get some good insight on what Saban thinks a particular defense does well. So we'll have to hear what he says on Thursday night about LSU's defense. But I think, the book on them right now is that their back end is pretty rough and, some injuries there. And, I don't know how much you're going to be able to run against them as much as be able to pass. And that was kind of the story with A&M. Alabama didn't even try to run all that much in that game and, took their deep shots and, converted those. And that was the difference in that game. And I think you're going to have potentially some breakdowns in coverage, which, Arkansas broke down in coverage against you too. Alabama's capitalized on some of those big plays when they needed to. And I think this could be another game where, Isaiah Bond, Burton, some of those guys down the field, if you're able to hit some big plays, that makes a huge difference.
Mike, I know you got players at one. Can you hang on and just talk to us for a few minutes more after this commercial break?
Definitely, yeah.
All right, thanks. Mike Rodak, costume to be determined from Frozen. I would look it up, but I'd rather talk about LSU. You're listening to Big Noon Sports.
For championships.
Throws intercepted Alabama.
Built by Bama.
Alabama is still Alabama.
The Crimson. Crimson Tide play here. Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on LSU at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Brought to you by Birmingham Racecourse. BirminghamRacecourse.com. You can be a winner too. Tide.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
Hey, this is Reagan, owner of R&R Cigars, the Cigar Mansion in downtown Tuscaloosa, located at 2703 6th Street across from the Home 2 Suites. Come down to R&R and see why we're the ultimate cigar and bourbon experience. With over 165 bourbons and 5 private barrels, our selection of bourbon is unmatched. We have the best cocktails around and our cigar selection is legendary. Our lounge and service are world class. Come and experience the luxury of the mansion and see why it's a world-renowned cigar and spirits destination.
From T-Town to the Plains, this is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
All right, how about the Adams family? It's Halloween. Justin Jones is providing this part of our entertainment. Thank you. I don't know if you guys ever do this, but late at night I watch Nickelodeons and that kind of stuff, and the old black and white Adams families are just hysterical and to the point of bizarre. I think the writers were doing something. Anyway, enough of that. That's Halloween. We'll recognize and move forward. You touched on this earlier, Mike Rodak, our guest from Bama 24/7. What are just a couple of things that Alabama absolutely must do to beat LSU?
I think it's keys to the game are always similar, I think, for this team especially. But, I think turnovers are the big thing, and that was the huge difference, I think, in that game against Tennessee was you turned the ball over twice. The Milroe strip sack and then the Milroe interception in the end zone, and that's a big reason why they're losing by 13 points. And then you didn't turn the ball over in the second half, and that's a big reason why they kind of ran away with the game at the end. So, that's still something that, there's still times here and there where Milroe's going to give the ball away. I think he's gotten better with some of those interceptions. The one against Tennessee wasn't really totally his fault. It was a tip ball that got caught. And fumbles haven't really been an issue. So that's something I think they can win and control with. But, it's the ability to stop their offense. And, I go back to Nick Saban's, quote to Chris Lowe from ESPN 3 years ago. And I don't say he declared defense is dead in college football, but he said that good defense doesn't beat good offense anymore. And that's just the way it is in college football. That was only 3 years ago. I don't know if that's changed. I don't think it's changed. So, this is a classic case of you have a number one offense coming in against the top 15 defense in Alabama. And, Alabama's offense isn't particularly great and LSU's defense certainly isn't great. So it's can a good defense or a very good defense beat a very good offense? And that's really what this game, I think, is going to come down to. So, we saw the Texas game, this defense has some issues. We saw the Ole Miss game against a really good offense. They held that to 10 points. So, this is the best offense they'll see, probably all season. And if they can hold LSU to under 30, then I would feel decently good about Milroe and this passing offense being able to make some big plays and get Alabama above 30.
Our guest is Mike Rodak from Bama 24/7. How good is Jaden Daniels? Is he a Heisman Trophy candidate or winner?
Oh, certainly, yeah. He's in the top two or three right now. It's kind of bounced around. I think we talked about it last week with Penix. Being certainly probably the leading guy for a while. Washington's slid a little bit the last couple of weeks. They've had some closer calls. They're not quite as dominant offensively. You know, how much that hurts Penix. I don't think it hurts him a ton. He's still in the top three. J.J. McCarthy, but, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of Heisman voters that are going to turn away from Michigan, and that's their right to do so. And then, you know, Daniels, I think, is the other one right now near the top. So this is obviously a big game for that. You all remember 2019 with Tua and Joe Burrow, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, the winner of that game is the Heisman favorite, and that certainly was the case coming out of that game, and, you know, Burrow won the Heisman that year. So I don't think this will necessarily decide it, but, you know, if Jaden Daniels comes into Bryant-Denny Stadium and throws for four touchdowns and LSU wins, then I think he's going to be the favorite, certainly, going into next week.
Yeah, and speaking of Daniels, so he's piloting an offense that leads the country in total yards. And not only that, he is accounted for 70% running and passing of those yards. What is the game plan going to be, do you think, of trying to contain this incredibly dynamic quarterback?
Yeah, it's tough because you can't really just focus on one thing with LSU. I mean, their running game is very good as well. You know, not just Daniels, it's kind of their whole backfield as well. So it's a little bit tougher than, but certainly a lot tougher than, you know, Tennessee. I think you could, you know, contain their running game. You don't have to worry a ton about Milton. Obviously hurt them more in the first half. And didn't really have to worry about Max Johnson at A&M. Didn't really have to worry about Mississippi State. Ole Miss just didn't look right, even with some good players. So this is different. Like, this is, you got to be doing it on both ends. And, you know, their Alabama's run defense has been great this year. It's been, you know, if not the strength of the team, certainly one of the top strengths. And their pass rush has been very good. So it's a combination of that. And just try not to have, you know, that one coverage breakdown, that one mental mistake that hurt them a little bit last year. That was, you know, part of the problem. And you get down to the goal line in those tight situations. And Saban's been harping on it ever since last November that they made mental mistakes, and that's what allowed Jaden Daniels to scramble and get into the end zone. So, you know, just obviously trying to prevent that is the key. But again, I don't think you can just key on stopping one side of LSU. I think they really bring it through the passing game, through the traditional running game, and through Daniels' ability to scramble.
Mike, I don't know if you're going to be writing a piece on sort of predicting how this game is going to go. And if you are, we don't have to go down this path. And we can save your prediction. But how do you think the game's going to go?
Yeah, I haven't, you know, deliberated too much on it. But I, you know, I think, it comes down to that main battle, you know, between the top defense and the top offense. And if Alabama can hold LSU to under 30, I would feel good. If you start getting into 35, 40, 45-point range for LSU, I don't know if Alabama's offense is going to be able to sustain that. They just haven't been consistent enough running the ball. They haven't been consistent enough passing the ball, you know, to make me feel good about them putting up 40, 45, even against a bad defense. So that's kind of the hinge point. And, again, I think Alabama's defense will hold, and I do think there's a decent chance that Alabama wins this game.
Hey, who are the players today? Do we know?
McKinstry, Latham, and somebody else. I forget.
All right, real quick, Proctor. I think he's improving. They're giving him some help.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's gotten better. You know, he didn't have any subs. Like he played the entire game against Tennessee. Pritchett didn't come in, so that was a pretty good sign. And you know, there's not a ton of obvious mistakes on his end, so. Yeah, I think he could be the full-time left tackle going forward.
For a long time.
Yeah.
That man's a beast. All right, get to your player interviews. We appreciate you taking time. Everybody can read you up on Bama 24/7. Thank you, Mike.
You got it. Thank you.
You bet. You're listening to Big Noon Sports. We got Haley Sansing with Union Home Mortgage. We appreciate her contributions to the show. More coming up on the Halloween edition of Big Noon Sports.
Catch Christian and Corey Miller every weekday here on Tide 100.9.
Tomorrow on the Miller's Edge, it is Rush Around the SEC. We'll rush around, take a look at all the other teams and see what's happening in the conference. Plus, we could down Alabama, LSU. It's game day. It's a night game in T-Town. Are you ready? Well, we're going to get you ready. Ready or not, here we come. The Miller's Edge on the Tide 100.9.
Tune in 11 to noon to hear Christian and Corey Miller break down everything from college to the pros on Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama sports. Yeah.
Securing the best mortgage possible requires a lender who has knowledge, is trustworthy, and treats customers like family. And no one is better at all of this than the mortgage miracle worker, Haley Sansing. Based right here in Tuscaloosa, Haley Sansing has spent decades working in the mortgage industry. With Haley, it's personal, holding your hand from contract to close. With Haley, it's about one thing, you. Call Haley on her cell, yes, her cell, 205-792-1813. That's 205-792-1813. Let Haley help you.
NLMS number 230376.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather. Mostly sunny, cool and breezy this afternoon, the high 57. Tonight, a freeze warning in effect. The sky clear, the low 31. Then for tomorrow and Thursday, sunny both days. The high tomorrow 53. Warmer Thursday, the high 61. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 55 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
More Big Noon Sports coming up.
Began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mesh.
He did the monster mesh.
The monster mesh.
It was a graveyard smash.
And Justin's doing a nice gig on these Halloween songs. It is October 31st, 2023. Thanks for joining us on Matt and Lars, the Big Noon Sports, along with Justin Jones. He is our producer extraordinaire. Tonight, the playoff rankings come out. Just jump right in there, Lars. I'm not so sure Georgia would be one.
Well, okay, so let's just do a little refresher here. That the key points that the committee members considering are consider when deciding a team's ranking just beyond their on-field record, and that's one, strength of schedule, two, conference championships. Once they're decided, that doesn't factor into these. Three, head-to-head competition. Four, results against common opponents, and five, results against ranked opponents. And also it's important to remember that these rankings really don't mean anything. I mean, this is just a made for TV, spectacle.
And radio.
Because it's just, it's sort of a brilliant marketing ploy by the powers that be that run college football to keep college football in the national news on a Tuesday night when otherwise college football wouldn't be talked about, because it's just a snapshot in time. It really means absolutely nothing. But I think, and this is based on reading what the experts are saying, I think the number one team is going to be Ohio State. They picked up another good win this last week at Wisconsin. The Buckeyes' strength of schedule and quality of wins should put them past the number two team. And I think that's going to be Michigan. And Michigan, they had the week off. Their schedule hasn't been great. But they have absolutely been dominant against the teams that they have played. But who knows what is going to happen with this with this team as the NCAA investigates the sign stealing. And that obviously is not a criteria that the committee will use. However, if the hammer is going to be dropped by the NCAA, that will have an impact. And by the way, Ohio State, the best player in the country, I don't think it's Brock Bowers. I think it's Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, he is just amazing. Fantastic. He is the best wide receiver I've seen in college football in a while. And I dare say this in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, that I think Harrison is better than Devontae Smith.
Taller.
He's taller. I think he's faster. I think he's bigger. He's a better runner with the ball. You know, there's a lot. He's just a special, special player. Okay, so I think it's going to be Ohio State 1, Michigan 2, and I think Florida State will probably be 3. Last week, Florida State, they did what they were supposed to do, and that was just absolutely destroy a weaker opponent, and that was Wake Forest. And, as of right now, the Florida State has played the second toughest schedule of all the undefeated teams at the top of the rankings, behind only Ohio State, and they still have Miami and Florida on their schedule. So if Florida State wins out, they're going to be in. So again, number one, Ohio State, 2, Michigan, 3, Florida State. I think 4 is going to be Washington. The Huskies, they had a really good win against Oregon. But they have not had a double-digit victory since beating Cal on September 23, beat them 59-32. But their finishing schedule is tough, and it features 3 teams that will be, you know, in the top 20 or so. So, again, I think if Washington wins out, they'll be in. 5, and I won't go into depth into all of them now, but I think 5 will be Georgia, 6 Oregon, 7 Alabama, although you could flip Oregon and Alabama. Alabama could be as high as 6, I think, but most likely 7. Oklahoma, 8. Texas, 9. And already, Steve Sarkisian, he is campaigning to the committee. On Monday, he talked at length about how Texas has the best win of any team in the nation. Obviously, he's pointing to Texas going into Alabama, or going into Tuscaloosa and defeating Alabama.
Is he wrong?
Probably not. Probably not.
I think the Washington win over Oregon is
yeah.
Up there.
Yeah.
So I think the more I thought about that statement, the more I thought, you know what? As Alabama continues to win, he continues to be right.
Yeah. And I think Alabama was, what, 53-1 in Tuscaloosa in their last 54 games? So not easy to win in Tuscaloosa. And Texas did just that. But Texas has no margin for error, just like every other one-loss team. I don't think you won't see a two-loss team in the playoffs. And then I think 10 will be Penn State, 11 Ole Miss, 12 LSU, 13 Notre Dame, 14 Missouri.
Wow, you've done a lot of research on this. Yeah, great.
I have actually. I'm glad you brought it up, because I spent some time this morning looking at this. I think 15 is going to be Kansas, 16 Louisville. And then in some order, you'll have Tennessee, Oregon State, Utah, UCLA, USC, Iowa, unbelievably, will probably get in there, even though they have the worst offense in the country. So bad that dad fired son. Kirk Ferentz fired his son, Brian Ferentz, as the offensive coordinator.
What's going to be like there at the old Ferentz house?
Yeah. And then I think you'll have Tulane Air Force and Nebraska. No, not kidding. I'm kidding. Oklahoma State. So that's my rough list of top 25 teams. And but again, this is just pure theater, and it means nothing. Zero. Nada.
No, it can change on literally a win or a loss, but
yeah,
it's still fun to talk about.
Oh, it is. It is.
If you look at it and you move forward and you look at the other games, you see how your team can either fall or rise or whatever. But it's interesting. And we'll see. 6 o'clock tonight on ESPN. Justin, is that what you told me? I think that's it.
Yeah, 6 o'clock Central Time.
Make sure and dial in tonight at 6 o'clock. Also tonight, Texas and Arizona go at it again. Texas defeated Arizona in the desert, 3-1. But Max Scherzer was bummed up early. That's not good news for the Rangers. But game threes in all of sports are pivotal, especially in baseball, because the win by Texas, that guaranteed they can go home. You know, even if Arizona will win the next two games and take a 3-2 series lead, game six is going to be played in Arlington. So that was a big win for Texas. I really still continue to think that they're going to win this all. But, Lars, I am also, you know, I'm a baseball fanatic, but I'm also smart enough to know that this is probably the least watched and cared about World Series in a very, very long time.
Yeah, certainly no one on the East Coast is watching it. You might be the only person in Alabama watching it. but I thought it was pretty cool when George Bush, former President Bush, threw out the first pitch in game one and just, you know, reminded all of us of him throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium in the days after 9/11. And I thought it was interesting how Derek Jeter interviewed President Bush before game one and before he went out there. And those two, they were together before the 9/11 pitch, even though it wasn't on 9/11. So there is a practice. There's a pitching mound beneath Yankee Stadium, and the president was warming up, and Derek Jeter, you know, the captain, he went down there, and he was just like, "Hey, Mr. President." And he talked a little bit, and he said, better throw a strike, otherwise you'll get booed. Yep. And President Bush, you know, he was just like, oh, thanks, I appreciate that. And it was just so great to see him get out there and absolutely just rifle a strike right down the middle of the plate from the mound. Right, because we talked about Stephen A. Smith going out to Yankee Stadium and throwing out the first pitch, and remember he bounced it about
what a comedy.
Yeah. But I would say that, you know, probably the greatest moment of President Bush's two terms was when he got on top of the rubble at the side of the Trade Center, the towers, the fallen towers, and had the bullhorn and just said, you know, they're all going to hear from us pretty soon. And when he was responding to a first responder, you know, someone who had been down there for a long time searching for, you know, any hope of finding human life. But maybe the second best moment, just symbolically, was that Yankee Stadium pitch. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Just, you know, going off the top of my head, that's huge. But, then, you know, there are others. I'm not sure how you would rank them, but that would be way up there. You know, Bushes are no stranger to baseball. They were part owners for a while for Texas, were they not?
And yeah.
And then, you know, George's dad, Herbert, he played for Yale.
Yeah, he played at Yale. He was quite good, yeah.
Yep. He's a very, very good glove man. I don't think he was real good with the stick, but they love baseball. There's no question about it. And maybe this is the year Texas wins the World Series, which, by the way, would be their first.
Real quick, who do you think was our most athletic president?
Probably Gerald Ford.
Isn't that funny? The guy who was caricatured as tripping all the time was an All-American center at Michigan?
Yeah. Highly decorated.
And
Barack, I can tell you who.
Barack Obama.
I can tell you who wasn't.
Who's that?
James Pope.
Barack Obama could play some ball, too. He still can.
Yeah, but then I don't think he was very skilled in other sports as well. But he had a jumper. There's no question. All right. First hour is in the tank. Let's go to hour number two on Big Noon Sports.
Mitch Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as roll tide as houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Kevin Wire.
NFL trade deadline is today at 4 o'clock Eastern time. We have some breaking news. A trade going down in the NFL. The NFL Network reporting Cardinals trading quarterback Josh Dobbs to the Vikings. And this comes after Minnesota lost Kirk Cousins for the season with a torn Achilles. Another trade that went down. Multiple outlets and FSR's Jay Glazer saying the Commanders trading defensive end Montez Sweat to the Bears in exchange for a 2024 second round pick. And the big trade, though, coming in the NBA last night, the 76ers sending James Harden to the Clippers along with P.J. Tucker and Filip Petrušev in exchange for Marcus Morris, Nick Batum, Robert Covington, K.J. Martin, an unprotected 2028 first-round pick, two second-round picks, and a pick swap, plus an additional first-round pick from a third team. That'll be the Oklahoma City Thunder, who agreed to a pick swap with the Clippers, so they'll send a 2026 protected first-rounder to Philadelphia.
This is the Big Noon Sports Network.
Well, I saw the thing coming out of the sky. It had a one long horn and one big eye. Like a Mr. Shaking in the city. It looked like a purple people eater to me. It was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
One-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater.
A one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Oh. Sure looks strange
to
me.
It is Halloween, October 31st, which, by the way, is Nick Saban's birthday. So, happy birthday to Coach Saban. A lot of things going on in the world of sports. We talked extensively in the first hour about Dabo Swinney's response to Tyler from Spartanburg. The one big quote to take away from there, and I think he just knocked it out of the park, was he said, "The expectation is greater than the appreciation." And that is not just true in Clemson, in my opinion. Power rankings are out tonight. Lars thinks Ohio State. I think you might be right because of their schedule has been just a little bit tougher than Michigan, although Michigan hasn't been tested all year. Speaking of Michigan, story out today as the sign-stealing saga continues that Mr. Connor Stallions was seen on the sidelines the CMU game, the Central Michigan game. So more and more is coming out that they were stealing signs or attempting to and using electronic devices to do so, and that is an absolute no-no. But meanwhile, your man there, Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, was asked if a coach was supposed to be responsible and all-knowing when it comes to his football team, and boy, he danced around that like Patrick Swayze. Oh, I can't believe I just said that. but he did. My wife's laughing in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Aaron.
Yeah, so there was a report out there that the University of Michigan had rescinded a contract extension offer to Jim Harbaugh, and Harbaugh said yesterday that that report is not accurate. And as of right now, Harbaugh's in the second year of a five-year deal with the Wolverines, and the school hoped to have an extension done, but apparently the process was put on hold due to the NCAA investigation of the, you know, the sign stealing, the cheating, whatever, however you want to phrase it. And it was the Wall Street Journal that reported on Sunday night that Michigan had rescinded its offer to Harbaugh. But then Harbaugh, again, when he was asked about that report, he said, "I wouldn't say that's accurate." And so a source did tell ESPN that Harbaugh was instructed not to sign the contract offer yet. So who knows? It seems pretty clear, though, that that Harbaugh's future is cloudy at Michigan, and it all sort of depends on this sign stealing investigation. As we learned with Watergate, it's often the cover up that is more more damaging than the actual act of defiance, of breaking rules than it, of itself. And in Michigan, they were idle last week, they're at home against Purdue this week. And I don't know. We'll just see. Through it all, Harbaugh's denied any knowledge of the alleged cheating, that's what he said earlier, right after the allegations were made public. But yesterday, he pivoted a little bit and said that he wasn't able to discuss the allegations in any more detail while the NCAA investigation is ongoing.
He should have said that to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. And he said that he didn't know the time frame in which the NCAA is going to, you know, try to wrap this investigation up. And but, you know, as of right now, they have not received an official notice of allegations from the NCAA. And we'll just, again, see how it plays out. But given the fact that it certainly appears that the sign stealing was going on this year, you would think that there would be a sense of urgency for the NCAA to act. I know traditionally
surely
that they move at a glacial pace, right? They move so slow, but they should feel that that this thing has got it can't be that complicated to unravel what went down here, right? And there's just been so much evidence just on social media alone what appear to be violations, and appear that that Michigan was cheating, that you would think something would come down where perhaps Michigan would be ineligible to play in the Big Ten championship game. Perhaps they would be ineligible to if not that, be ineligible for postseason play. Who knows? I mean, I know that's a very stiff punishment, but you look at Michigan and just by the eye test, they appear to be the best team in the country this year. Now, as we've talked about in the first hour, their schedule has not been incredibly challenging. However, maybe that's because they knew what plays the opponents were running.
You think your team can win without doing that?
Yes.
I must live in a panacea. But here's the deal. This will drag on, and mainly because that's just the MO of the NCAA, but also because all of the people that have been finger-pointed in this have lawyered up. So they're not going to say anything. So they're not likely to get the evidence here, pro or con, until way after the season. So after the season, if you don't eliminate them from the playoffs, do you take away their championship, or do you go ahead and take their chance at making the playoffs away? Because, Lars, they're not going to get enough evidence to make a sound decision, or at least they will say, for another, I would think, 6 months to
it. Yeah, and that's you raise a really good point. Correct me if I'm wrong, Matt, but I don't think the NCAA does not have the power of subpoena. They can't force anybody to come and talk. If they lawyer up, then it becomes an incredibly more complicated investigation. And if you are being investigated, you should do exactly that. Make it as difficult as you can for investigators to get you in a situation where you're under oath and you have to tell the truth. And if you don't, there's a threat of potential jail time. So I know the lawyers at the NCAA do not have the subpoena power. It would have to come from obviously a different agency. So
there are a lot of Michigan lawyers that would run to the defense of those guys, though, don't you think? They're standing in line.
Absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I'm becoming a Penn State fan. I'm a Ohio State fan because I do not want Michigan. And then, of course, I'll be a Nebraska fan when Nebraska gets to the Big Ten championship game. And
this year.
We talked about it yesterday. Nebraska has a clear path to the Big Ten championship game, unbelievably.
I still want Nebraska and Auburn to play in a Birmingham Bowl.
I know you do.
That would just be unbelievable. So anyway, all right, Big Noon Sports continues. And hey, why don't we take some calls? Especially like to hear some people voice their opinion about Dabo Swinney's comments last night on Tiger Calls. So call us up, 205-342-9904. Big Noon Sports, presented by Haley Sansing, Union Home Mortgage.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather. Mostly sunny, cool and breezy this afternoon, the high 57. Tonight, a freeze warning in effect. The sky clear, the low 31. And for tomorrow and Thursday, sunny both days. The high tomorrow, 53. Warmer Thursday, the high 61. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 57 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Covering SEC sports like kudzu on the roadside. This is Big Noon Sports.
Halloween.
It is October 31st.
All right. Welcome back into the show. If you'd like to join us via the phone, please do so. 205-342-9904. Just looking across some of the things that are maybe not just headlines, but a little below the fold, but just a quick story. Colorado played UCLA. UCLA won this past weekend, but Buffalo players are saying that they had jewelry stolen out of their locker room. It's unfortunately not the first time we've heard about this, but I hate it, and that's just the story. I don't know if it deserves comment or not. Probably ought to talk more about Alabama and LSU. Let's go to that. Lars, have you had any getting closer to midweek thoughts on this game? More thoughts?
Yeah. I think, as we talked about with Mike Rodak a little bit earlier, that the most vulnerable part of the entire LSU team, both offense and defense, is that secondary. They've had a lot of injuries. They're going to be playing a safety over at corner. They're going to have three corners that will be or two corners that will be rotating in that are going to be true freshmen. And so if there is a place that can be exploited, right, a position group that can be exploited, I think it's on that back end of the LSU defense. And, you know, I think it's going to be hard to run the ball because, like every other team that Alabama has faced, they are the LSU defense is they're going to put everybody up the line of scrimmage and they're going to make Jalen beat him, beat them with his arm. And it's going to come down to the receivers creating the separation and Jalen making really smart decisions. You know, we'll see how it goes. By the way, last night, Jahmyr Gibbs for the Detroit Lions, former Alabama running back, holy cow, he was the best player on the field of Monday Night Football. It was just absolutely spectacular against the Raiders. And you know, it's like you watch all these games, Matt, these NFL games, and at all the key positions, oh, Alabama guy, Alabama guy, Alabama guy. And, you know, you got Jameson Williams, who he had a drop last night, but he's going to be really good for the Lions once he, you know, he's had some health issues and then he was suspended. And now they have Gibbs. And on the other side of the field, oh, they have the guy who led the league last year in rushing in Josh Jacobs. You know, it really is. It's just amazing. Every single game, the key players, especially at the skill positions of quarterback, running back, wide receiver, Alabama guys.
Especially the Eagles.
Yeah.
With, you know, picking up Julio Jones. It's incredible. And how about them Lions?
Yeah. By the way. Yeah, they looked really good last night, and Jared Goff he's having the best year of his career, and I think the Lions are poised to make a deep run. And I know they got slaughtered the week before, but it was a good bounce back for them. But anyway, yes. So going back, I'm sorry, I'm just sort of hopscotching intellectually all over the place here. But how about you? When you look at this Alabama-LSU matchup, what do you think is the most vulnerable part of this LSU team?
I think it's the secondary. Real quick, though, I went ahead and looked up last night's stats for Jahmyr Gibbs. 26 carries, 152 yards, and a touchdown, pardon me. Then he also had 5 catches, 37 for totals, it doesn't seem to give the total on that. So, but
yeah, I mean, almost 200 yards,
37 yards through the air.
Yeah, 30. Yeah, so you know what, 175 or so total yards from scrimmage, and I know a lot of Lions fans were wondering. Look, we drafted this guy. I think this is off the top of my head. I think 13 overall. And he was not getting many carries. It was David Montgomery, a running back they signed in free agency. And, you know, fans are just scratching their head. Why you take a running back this early, why don't you put him in the game? Well, Montgomery gets hurt, and you put Gibbs in, and wow, did he respond. And he absolutely iced the game late. Seemed like every time he touched the ball, he was getting 7, 8, 9, 10 yards, and then he broke one, and then you just saw the speed. I mean, he's just such a dynamic player. And he also was one of these guys at Alabama who I thought was actually going to be a better pro than college player, just because of it. I think his skill set is more suited to the NFL game than the college game.
Yeah, he plays a lot more third downs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing about him, is that he can be an every down back, just like Jacobs. They're very similar players. I think Jacobs and Gibbs, but just pretty cool. Pretty cool to see, you know, and I know Gibbs is only in Tuscaloosa for 1 year after, entering the transfer portal and coming from, Georgia Tech. But yeah, he's a fun player. And, I think the Lions really, really have something with him, because with Jared Goff, he's not a guy that you want to, just put in shotgun and have him slinging the ball all over the field. You want him to be more of a game manager, and get the play action to work, be under center. And the way to get that to work is you get the running game going. I mean, you know, it's a tale as old as football itself. If you have the running game going, it opens up the passing game, especially the play action. And he was able to hit some shots down the field because Gibbs was having so much success against that Raider defense.
Also, I think you heard this at the top of the hour in our Fox News update, but in the NFL, Josh Hobbs has been acquired to go to Minnesota, and I'm assuming to take over the starting slot for the injured Cousins. So that is happening as well. I'm a little overwhelmed by that particular trade.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Josh Dobbs, he's played pretty well this year in filling in for Kyler Murray, who it looks like he's going to be good to go this coming week, and coming off that knee injury from last year, and so that made Dobbs somewhat expendable. And if you can get some draft capital for him, you do it, because again, Dobbs, he played pretty well in filling in for him. I thought Minnesota would maybe go after a bit of a higher level quarterback. There was a lot of talk about Jameis Winston, perhaps, that they were targeting, because that NFC Central, or NFC North, I guess it's called now, is very much up for grabs. And even though Minnesota started the year so slowly, they've won a few games in a row, and they're sort of back in the mix and in the thick of everything. Got to feel horrible for Kirk Cousins, as we discussed yesterday. You know, he's in a contract year. Didn't look like that Minnesota was going to re-sign him anyway, but his season is done, and now he won't be available unless he pulls an Aaron Rodgers in his rehab from Achilles. Look, and I still don't think we're going to see Aaron Rodgers this year. I think that's a bunch of hooey. Very technical scientific term there, Matt. Hooey. But I don't think...
It's perfect,
I don't think,
especially on Halloween.
I don't think we're going to see Aaron Rodgers this year at all. And, you know, I don't think his career is over, but I would just be shocked if he comes back and plays in the regular season, because just how things are shaking out in the AFC East, the Jets, for them to make it into the playoffs, they're going to have to be winning games in December. And I don't think we've ever seen anyone come back from an Achilles in week one and play in week 15 or so. I mean, that would just be absolutely crazy. But, you know, mind over matter, I guess, when it comes to that for our buddy Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, he was thrown on the sideline, and he looked good. But, you know, that is in no way to predict whether or not he can come back from such a serious interview. So, anyway. All right, back to what you're talking about with Alabama LSU. You're asking me anything that I had to observe. You're talking about, and you broke it down very, very well, and in fact, you kind of gave me a little lift there with the description of what has happened to their secondary, which, I mean, they're going deep into the chart. So I think that given a good day, Milroe can certainly take advantage of that. But when it just comes down to the bottom line, in my opinion, is somebody's got to out-physical the other team. I think Alabama is more capable of that. Obviously, LSU's offensive line has been really, really good at giving Daniels, time to throw. And they've got a great they've got a great core of wide receivers. So, but I think getting pressure on him, of course, sometimes when you press him, you force him out of the pocket, and next thing you know, he's 30 yards down the field. But I think you have to pressure with ease, so to speak. Alabama's linebackers can cover, and I see that. But Alabama, the best chance they have to win this game is to keep it away from Daniels. And, Lars, that's just a lineup between that 300-plus pound per player. Three of Alabama's offensive linemen are over 350. So, and LSU's defense is not good against the pass or the run. So I would think that Alabama take their first possession and try and run it right at them. And then just when you think you got them running and on their heels, then you go play action and you hit Burton for about a 42-yarder. That would be the best possible start for Alabama this Saturday.
Yeah, and will
physical.
This,
you got to out-physical
yes.
them.
Yeah. And so will this be the game where the offensive line, you know, puts together four good quarters of run blocking? Because we haven't seen that this year. And we haven't really seen Alabama as a team put together four good quarters. Now, the last two quarters we saw against Tennessee were the best two of the year. Now, will there be carryover into this game? I certainly think there can be. And that would be just absolutely the best, the best medicine for, I think, for the passing game, frankly, because if they're going to crowd the line of scrimmage and, they're going to send linebackers and, on run blitzes, and they're going to do everything they can to make, Alabama one dimensional and make Jalen Milroe the guy who has to make the plays, has to hit those 10 yard outs that he has really struggled to hit. And, Brian Kelly is no slouch of a head coach. You know, we made fun of him when he first came into the SEC with the
dancing around
with the the creepy videos. Yeah, Patrick Swayze.
Fake Southern accent.
He should go as Patrick Swayze as for Halloween tonight. But no, the creepy videos, the feigned Southern accent, and all that nonsense. You put that aside, the dude can coach. The dude can coach, and it'll be a pretty fascinating sort of chess matchup between Saban and Brian Kelly on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, let's take a break, and when we get back, we'll continue again. Go ahead, give them a shout. Your thoughts on Alabama LSU, 205-342-9904. This is Big Noon Sports.
Built to win.
Touchdown, Alabama!
built for championships.
Throws intercepted Alabama.
Built by Bama.
Alabama is still Alabama.
The Crimson Tide play here. Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide take on LSU at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football.
Brought to you by Birmingham Racecourse. BirminghamRacecourse.com. You can be a winner too.
Laura Lee Thompson is known as the Bama Broker. She's a Tuscaloosa native, an Alabama graduate, and the only realtor in town with Wall Street experience. A skilled negotiator, Laura Lee knows how to buy low and sell high. And the Bama Broker isn't just going to show you houses. No, Laura Lee is going to educate you on the market, guide you to homes that fit your budget, and teach you how to sell your home for its maximum profit. Throughout the entire process, the Bama Broker will equip you with the tools you need to both buy a home and build financial wealth through home ownership. Trust me, the Bama Broker, who's as Roll Tide as Houndstooth, will get you across the goal line. That's Laura Lee Thompson, the Bama Broker with Advantage Realty Group. You can reach her at 205-790-7229. Again, that's 205-790-7229. And you can also email her at lauralee@thebamabroker.com. That's lauralee@thebamabroker.com.
The best sports talk in Alabama. This is Big Noon Sports.
I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. I told the witch doctor I was in love with you. And then the witch doctor, he told me what to do. He said that...
Justin, did you just Google crazy Halloween songs? Is that how... Because nobody plays that song anymore. I'm probably the only one that knows anything about it. And I just barely know a couple of the lyrics that they play from Alvin and Theodore. But anyway, where did you get all these songs?
Well, I've been digging down in the depths of my brain for variety of Halloween songs because I didn't want to play anything twice. And I'm right there with you, Alvin and the Chipmunks. That's where I've heard this song before. And I have to thank Noah, though, because Noah had previously looked up a lot of this stuff. So I'm kind of just scrolling through and picking out the ones I like.
Well, must ask, we're not in studio today. Is this a day where you're allowed to dress up, and are you?
I'm sure I could dress up probably any day. I don't think anybody would
care. At a radio station, nobody'd notice.
Yeah, but no, I'm not dressed up today. I probably should have. I don't know. Maybe I should have went as the Michigan camera people, but I've seen that as a popular costume.
Yeah. Who are you? Oh, I'm Connor Stallion. Anyway, will you do that at all, Halloween? Will you have trick-or-treaters coming by your house tonight?
My family lives out in the woods, per se, so I hope not. That'd probably be more scary than anything. By having
a trick-or-treater, that would scare you.
Yeah. But my family, my younger siblings, have done a lot of trunk-or-treats this week. And I've just been, you know, picking off the top layer. They got to pay the tax, you know, the older brother tax with the candy. So,
what is okay? I'm gonna really sound like I don't know anything. That's nothing unusual. What is trunk or treat? Is that when you go to somebody's house and they all grab a handful out of the trunk?
Yeah, like,
oh no, I've seen it. They all line up their cars.
Yeah,
a lot. That just doesn't sound right.
Well, that's what we did when, you know, my kids were in preschool and in daycare. You do trunk or treat. And my favorite was when I got a Winnie the Pooh outfit for Lincoln. I still have pictures of it. And he hates it when I bring those pictures out. But, we did trunk or treat at Primrose in Liberty Park.
So what did you describe this to me? I saw one picture and it literally had quite a few vehicles lined up side by side by side, almost like they were in a parking lot. And so that they were like 2 feet apart. and the kids wear their costumes and walk down and just get handed candy out of the trunk. Is that the base? Is that the premise of this deal?
Yeah, that's basically it. It's
so no chance at Ed. Can you go soap the windows of the car?
I guess
can you roll their car.
Typically, though, I've seen it done at churches, so they'll have like games and prizes and stuff for the kids, as well as all the candy in the trunks. But I grew up in subdivisions and neighborhoods, so my Halloween experience as a kid was always trick-or-treating, filling up a pillowcase, and getting yelled at for staying out too late.
Yeah, but you had to go to that one more door, you know, or that one more circle, that one more cul-de-sac. So, you know, you could warrant that back in the day. Of course, that was back in the day. You just turned the kids loose. I don't know if you could really do that as much as you could back in the day. And therefore, I guess that's why you get the trunk or treats. And we've been hearing about that for even since I was a young adult. They would do it at churches more than anything. Not necessarily the trunk or treat, but they would do some form of that. So it would be a 100% controlled group. So anyway.
So, okay, guys, here's a question for you. What is the best Halloween-themed movie? Your favorite. And let's exclude the Halloween franchise, right? The Halloween movies. They've been box office hits for a long time. Started in 1978. And that's about, you know, in the original Halloween, a young boy named Michael Myers, you know, goes crazy.
Is that the guy with the hockey mask?
Yeah. Okay. And
I know about that much.
Yeah. Well, it gets pretty graphic, but, there are other, you know, iconic slasher films. There's Scream, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th. But I like the more family friendly. Like, I like, It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown. That's my favorite. Do you guys have a favorite? Beetlejuice? Night Before Christmas?
People love Beetlejuice, and I never quite figured it out. Justin probably hadn't even heard of it.
No, I know what Beetlejuice is. I've seen the movie, at least.
Very young Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin and Michael Keaton was the guy that ended up with a little head, and I buried my way through that. But I am if people want to dress up, they want to have Halloween, it's all about the kids. I love that part of it, but I haven't seen a horror film. I've seen one horror film to its end in my life, and that was the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And that was because I kind of had to. So, I don't even know the names of these movies. I know there's like a Freddy Krueger that hangs around in some of them. And then there's Jason. But I really don't know. I have not seen a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
Am I a bah Halloween bug?
Lars, you know, yeah. I was thinking, is the... What's the movie with Jack Skellington... The Nightmare Before Christmas or something, right? Is that a Halloween movie or a Christmas movie to you?
Nightmare?
You even know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with that that particular
Never mind. Movie. I'll say I'm infamously not a scary movie person, so I'm with you on the Charlie Brown, Lars, and
yeah.
Me growing up, a lot of the Disney... They did Disney originals, like a Halloween Town or stuff like that. That was always my favorite.
I got a rock. Remember Charlie Brown? They'd all compare what they got in their bags and eat. They'd all have candy, and poor Charlie Brown would just, I got a rock. I don't guess y'all remember that part of the cartoon, but poor Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin. That was a good one. I nailed it on there, Lars. So, what did you get, Nick Saban? Go ahead. Excuse me.
Do you guys want to know the history of Halloween? We could do a deep dive into the history of Halloween, but we don't need to do that.
We got a couple of minutes. What would you get Nick Saban for his birthday?
What would you get the man who has everything? That's a good question.
Well, he said he'd like to have a win over LSU, that'd be a nice birthday present. Anyway, since we're just kind of yakking it up here, I did something last night I rarely do because I really just wanted to see Joaquin Phoenix. But Joker came on last night. I thought, am I really going to commit to this movie at 9 o'clock at night? Well, I did.
Oh, that movie's disturbing.
That is disturbing.
It is so disturbing. Yes. Joaquin Phoenix is such a great actor. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I remember him when he's playing Johnny Cash. He did an unbelievable job.
He was really good. He sang everything in that too.
He's really talented, and I love the fact that he picks his roles. He's very selective. One was good, and I woke up this morning thinking about it, and now I'm not really sure I should have watched that movie or not. But
speaking of Joaquin Phoenix, he's got I assume is going to be a really good movie on Napoleon coming out that I've seen trailers for.
Really? I wouldn't have pictured that. I would have pictured Danny DeVito.
and you know what, Matt? We didn't talk about this, but the death of Matthew Perry really hit me hard. I never met the man, but you know, for people my age, it's like we grew up with him, and you know, on Friends, it was like he was our friend. And what made him, I think, so eminently likable was the fact that he had these faults, and that he wasn't this,
he wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination.
No. And he did, and he never presented like this Instagram perfect life.
Nope.
And he owned up to his faults, and he talked about them, and he advocated for people who were struggling, and just for him to lose his life at age 53, just extremely tragic and disturbing, and it's one of these rare Hollywood deaths that for some reason just absolutely was a gut punch to me.
And many others. You look on social media, many people really, really liked him. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back with more Big Noon Sports.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny, cool and breezy this afternoon, the high 57. Tonight, a freeze warning in effect. The sky clear, the low 31. And for tomorrow and Thursday, sunny both days, the high tomorrow 53. Warmer Thursday, the high 61. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From T-Town to the plains. This is Alabama's most in-depth analysis on the SEC. This is Big Noon Sports.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back in to Big Noon Sports. Happy 72nd birthday to Nick Saban. Justin, did you think Nick Saban, when you first arrived at Alabama, did you think he'd still be coaching at the age of 72?
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever thought about it. To me, I don't think of it's weird to say, but I look at and think of Nick Saban like he never ages. It's just, you know, it's just Nick Saban. That's my head coach all the time. It's never going to change. So the day that that does change, I'm in for a harsh reality.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are. And, you know, the fact that he came to Tuscaloosa in 2007, has won six national championships, many, many SEC championships. His name is on, you know, local landmarks everywhere. You have of course, the statue. You have the Saban Center. You have the work that he and Miss Terry have done with the Nick's Kids Foundation, with Habitat for Humanity, with a playground at Alberta School of Performing Arts. I mean, you have the student center, the Saban Catholic Student Center at St. Francis on the UA campus, and his legacy is just so much more than simply being a football coach. But before I get into what I think his sort of most impactful, enduring legacy will be, again, away from coaching football, what is it for you, Justin, when you think of everything that Coach Saban has done for the community of Tuscaloosa, what sticks out to you?
I definitely think of, I don't know. I keep going back to the moment in 2011 during the tornadoes. I think what he did for the community then is worth, you know, a lifetime of service to the community. But he keeps on giving, and especially his charity, the Nick's Kids. I think that's very important to the city and to the youth that are in Alabama, in West Alabama.
Yeah, and I was going to go to April 28th, 2011, the day after the tornado. And, you know, I wrote about it in a cover story in SI, and then wrote a book on not just that day, not just the tornadoes, and but sort of everything that followed, called The Storm and the Tide. And you know, on the morning after April 28th, at daybreak, Nick drove from his house to the athletic facility, or to the Malmore, and met Thad Turnipseed. And the spring game, I believe, had just been, I don't know, 4 days earlier. And so they had a bunch of leftover water and Gatorade, and they put that in the back of Thad's truck. And immediately, you know, they decided to go right into the hardest hit areas. And to get in there, they had to go past the National Guard. And Thad, who I think his title at the time was maybe director of operations, but really his unofficial title was, whatever Nick needs, Thad does. And, he ended up going to Clemson and really helping, Dabo Swinney build Clemson into a national power, because Thad had a front row seat to what Nick Saban had done and what he had constructed in Tuscaloosa. But get to I think it was just like almost like the railroad tracks right by the football field and or by the practice field, and National Guard stops him. And then, you know, Nick rolls down his window and they see it's Nick Saban, and, you know, he gets waved through right away. And then, you know, for the next 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, they just they went again to the hardest hit areas, handing out waters to first responders, and also people who had just literally lost everything, homes, cars, and in some of the most tragic instances, lost kids, family members. And in that, say, about 12-hour period on the day after, I know for a fact that Nick Saban embraced more people than he had in the entirety of his life. And I think it was that night that he went and spoke at the student center, just an extemporaneous speech, and assuring everyone, especially the students who were frightened, and in a lot of cases it was these kids' first time ever dealing with losing a contemporary, and a lot of people just you know, in shock. And he offered very reassuring words, and in this amazing speech, he talked about the example of Jesus Christ, and but in that day and in the days following, I think Nick became not a football coach anymore. He was a community leader, and I think that that rooted he and Miss Terry in Tuscaloosa in a way that they had never been rooted in a city before. And, you know, pre-tornado, Nick Saban was known as this mercenary head coach that would hopscotch from job to job to job, right? He would build up a program, get it to winning, and then move on to the next challenge. Well, what he did, I think with the winds of April 27, 2011 the winds uprooted so much, but they rooted the Sabins in Tuscaloosa in a way that they never could have imagined. And again, that's really when he became so much more than a head coach. So that, I think, is going to ultimately, at least in my mind, that's going to be the legacy of Nick Saban. All right, I know we got to get out of here. Justin, have a great Halloween. Everyone, have fun tonight. And everybody, be safe tonight. We'll see you in 22 hours.
Everybody's waiting for the next surprise. Down that corner, I'm hiding in the trash can. Something's waiting out of action.
Halloween. Red and black. Aren't you scared?
Texting enrolls you in a recurring automation.